Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. It's on page 751 in the Bibles that are in front of you in the pews. Again, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that stands out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve.
I find it interesting in that passage how he connects the idea of trust with the heart, that the heart is deceptive beyond all things. So the heart can trust in things that are untrustworthy. Have you ever found yourself do that? The world continuously tries to get you to trust in something that you think will satisfy. In the passage of Scripture, it talks about when you trust in man or in the fallen things of the world, it's like being a bush in the desert. But when Jesus comes, he wants to turn the world upside down to give us a realization that there is something that you can trust in, that you can be like a tree planted by the water where you will always be nurtured, you will always have plenty, and you will always bear fruit. But it all depends on where you're planted. So the question is out, where are you planted? That's a question I want you to think about during this sermon. That's a question I want you to think about this week. Where are you planted? Are you planted in a place that will continue to nourish you, that you will continue to bear what God knows you can bear? Those gifts, talents, and abilities, will they continue to bear fruit? Or will you be trusting on something that just won't produce in you the things that will last in the fruit of your strengths and your abilities? So we ask the question about trust. Trust is an investment based on a promise of a future outcome. Would you think about that a second? Trust is an investment based on a promise for a future outcome. So the series we're doing is living in the light of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, it changed everything about the world. That this God who might have seemed distant, or this God who was only present in this one little city in Palestine called Jerusalem, that now God says, no, I have eyes for everyone. I've always had eyes for everyone. And it's not just through this one single people that my blessing will come, but it's going to come through me, through my son, for your sake. And we go, oh, can I trust that? And the challenge that the people had, and we were studying Galatians in our Bible class, about how the Apostle Paul, who grew up as a Jew, put his trust in all of the theology and the traditions of the Jews, saying that this is God's people. We are God's entity. And if there's anything that comes to kind of move us away from the thing that we trust, It has to be exterminated. And he tried to exterminate Christianity until Jesus came and said, stop trusting in yourself, in your wisdom and in your ability, in your heart, because your heart is deceptive. Trust in me, because I am trustworthy. Because I have trusted the Father, because he is trustworthy. So trust is an investment based on a promise that Paul had to make, that even Jesus had to make when the Father said, I want you to go down there and save those people. And you will die, but you will return to me. He had to trust that. And we think, oh, well, it was easy because he's God. But there's something about that concept that we have to wrestle with, because there's a place in Jesus where he is wrestling with the fact of, do I really want to go to the end, through the finish line, which was death, which was humiliation? Do I want to do that for a people who most of them don't care? Will I still trust the Father and trust myself to him for the sake of these people? So we have to understand this idea of what trust is. So what is trust? Well, trust is integrity. Now, when you think about that, you might be thinking of different people who you trust or don't trust. And when you're looking about yourself, you say, am I a trustworthy person? We're going to look at some aspects about trust so that you can define where you fall in this. Am I trustworthy? That someone could put their trust in me. Do I have integrity? And what integrity is it the same through and through? Well, we know as fallen people that we have imperfections in us. But the more that God refines us, refining is the process of eliminating the impurities, right? So we trust God that in the process of our life, he is continuously refining us. So that when we come to realize I was untrustworthy in that place. Well, is that just one of those specks that showed that you need that refined out? Yes. Do you give up? No. Because God's not done with you yet. And we have to trust that in the process that God still loves me, so I allow him to continue to work in me and through me for his sake. Rather than thinking, oh, I've got some imperfection, so God can't use me. That is a lie. God can continue to use you. So this integrity is God working in us to make us the same through and through. Sincerity. Are you sincere about your actions, your attitudes, and your behaviors towards people? Or is it only to try to engender yourself to people so that you can extract something from them? Are you reliable? Are you someone that can be trusted with maybe some information or a situation? Are you a person who will do what you say? Will your yes be yes? Will your no be no? And again, this is all process in the refining of ourselves into what God wants us to be. Where's our level of commitment? Am I committed more to myself, my desires, or am I committed to God, and then I shape and form my commitments based on his commitment to me? And the things that he will use me for the sake of others. Is there consistency? Again, that kind of goes into the integrity. Is it consistent happenings through and through? So in this process of us becoming trustworthy people, God will be working in these different areas of our life so that when other people are interacting with us, they will see something in us that will be attractive, not because of us, but because of him. Isn't that awesome? That we will be able to illuminate to the world, like Jesus did for us, a reality of a trustworthy God who will take something that is broken, that isn't perfect, and refine it and continue to use it as he's making it into what he knows it could be. That is great news. That's not just good news. That's great news. That God will do that through us who are oftentimes only looking at our weaknesses. But then when we trust There has to be something that goes on. Trust has to be earned, right? So then in our relationship with God, do we question being faithful to Him? Do we question being obedient to Him because He might call me to do something that I'm just not sure it's going to work out the right way or the way I think it should? So we have to study about God. We have to study about Jesus to confirm in our own minds that what He says, His promises to us, will come to fruition. But sometimes that's hard because the ultimate is not just in Jesus' resurrection, but in ours. That we will trust, but we will fully know when we join Him in the resurrection. But trust has to be earned before you give it to someone, right? But even if you're fully trustworthy, Jesus was fully trustworthy, wasn't He? He did everything He promised that He would do, didn't He? He didn't do things that people wanted Him to do that they think He should do. And then they questioned His authenticity and they didn't trust Him because they had in their mind this idea that this Messiah should be a different kind of person. And Jesus said, no, I'm trying to let you see the kind of person God wants you to be through me. So even though Jesus was fully trustworthy, many people did not give Him their trust. The same thing can go with us. You can be fully trustworthy and someone still holds back because, one, there's power there, isn't there? Because if I have to trust you, then what? I might have to sacrifice something. Or I might have to make myself vulnerable to you not being trustworthy. But then we go, wait a minute. This is a person who, like me, is in the fire, who is trying to be refined by God, and I'm going to come into interactions with some of their impurities at times. But am I interacting with more impurity or more purity? Right? So when we see and interact with people and we're hitting more purity and consistency and reliability and integrity, we're going, okay, I think I can put more trust in them. But always remember, we're fallen beings who will sometimes go back to old patterns of thinking and acting, which will cause some people to go, oh, see, you just blew it again. I knew it. I knew you were going to hurt me. And you go, how did I hurt you? Well, I'm disappointed. Okay, be disappointed, but don't be hurt. You're disappointed in me. You're not hurt by me. You're allowing yourself to be hurt by me, but if you trust in God, I can do nothing to really hurt you because your identity is not built on me, it's built on God. And when God tells you who you are, there's nothing that anybody else can say or do that will hurt your heart because you know who you are from the mind of God. So this trust, is trust difficult? Give me some reasons. Why is trust difficult? Why is it? Because we can be disappointed. And when we're disappointed, it might say, I put more hope in the person that they were going to be able to do for me what I wanted them to do rather than trust God that He would provide for me when I needed it. You didn't give me what I wanted. Now I'm disappointed in you. Or you've disappointed me. What are other things that make trust hard?
History. Dan?
Why does history make trust hard, Dan?
Because we see it all around us and we experience it ourselves. Like you said, these letdowns. When we trust in something or whatever, we see it in our everyday life in every aspect.
Yeah, and you think about Jesus on the cross, dying for us, raised from the dead, still trying to shape and mold us. Do you think there are times when we make choices that Jesus just goes, oh, why don't you just trust me? And we go, because it's hard. Do Do you think Jesus is disappointed at times when we trust ourselves or trust others rather than him who died for us? But the one thing I want you to remember, he doesn't discard us because of it. He doesn't just cut us off because we didn't live up to what he wants us. He knows us. And when we go to him in repentance, like, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, give me another chance. He says, always. That's what my blood's all about. Is that when you continue to turn to me, my blood continuously washes you, and our relationship is still there. But the thing you know is you can become better. Roger.
I agree with what you're talking about and doing. If you don't agree and do what you're talking about, you can't trust one another.
Yeah, so you have to have that consistency, right? So one of the things we know that trust is difficult because what people can do and what people can promise can disappoint us. There's very little time when someone promises me something that it physically hurts me. It hurts my heart, but my heart can be deceptive above all things. So I don't trust my heart. I trust God. So trust is difficult. Trust will promise something and we wait for it to be realized. I might be disappointed. So we look at errant trust, offers false security. Have you ever trusted something that you thought it was going to provide something that it just didn't provide all the way? Yeah. And do you realize because we live in a fallen world that everything in this world will only satisfy to a certain level? And once it reaches that level, it cannot satisfy you anymore. So therefore, if you put more trust in something to be something that it can't be, what will happen to you? Oh, disappointment. That thing didn't do what I thought it should do. We put this false security in this thing that just doesn't fully deliver. Now, think about some things in our world over the years that people have put their trust in. Think about the stock market and the financial system where, you know, we know back in the 20s, well, even 2008, some of us probably got a hit when the finances of our country and around the world just kind of went down. And all of a sudden, if you have investments, you went, oh, what am I going to do? My income, my life savings, my retirement. What am I trusting in? Some people, it got so bad in 2008, and I'm sure anytime there's when people put trust in money and all of a sudden the money dries up, what can people tend to do? Commit suicide, yeah. Because they put so much trust on this thing that can't fully satisfy that now, well, what's the use of living? I don't know what my life's going to be tomorrow when this thing I was trusted in just dried up. And they didn't put the trust in eternal life, but in temporal life. You think of people who maybe put their trust in their homes or some other material thing. Did you see in the past few years what was happening out west with the fires? Did you hear any of the news reports when people, that everything they had was just sucked up and gone because of a fire? What did they tend to fall back to as what keeps them moving forward? What's that? We lost every other material possession, but my family is safe. At least I have my family. But then there were some people that lost family. Roger?
Any of us that are old enough, think about what happened over in Vietnam. We sent our soldiers over there, but when they came back, a lot of them were spat upon. That was a terrible thing that happened.
Yeah, and you're thinking, I'm putting my life on the line for people, and then the people you're putting your life on the line for don't appreciate it. Well, there's lots of reasons for that, right? We know, those of us who went through it, there's a lot of dynamics in that. But ultimately, how people who laid their life on the line could have said, I'm disappointed that you don't appreciate what I've done. And that's what will happen every time in this world when you put full faith in something that can't produce. So we think about the stock market, natural disasters. Think about betrayals. You ever been betrayed by a coworker, a friend, a loved one? How many of us put our trust in our appearance? Now, I don't worry about that too much, but there's some people who do. And what happens when you lose that? There was a singer on one of the shows, I forget what it was, where she had been in a plane crash, and she had burns all over her and was disfigured because of it. But when she came out and sang, it was like amazing. And there's one of the shows, The Voice, that talks about how, I don't want to see your face. I don't want to be distracted by what you look like. I just want to hear what's most important to this venue is what you sound like. And oftentimes they turn around and the package doesn't look like The Voice, which is good because we don't like that prejudice, do we? Appreciate the gift I have, not the way I look. So sometimes even our looks can disappear, and, you know, they'll happen as we age. What about our abilities? Same thing. Our abilities will tend to lessen as we age. But one of the things we have to realize is that this world offers a lot of mirages, a lot of things that say, this is real. This is where you can go and you're dying of thirst. This will provide for you. And you go and you drink and it provides for a moment, but then it dries up. And Satan will try to mask this errant trust to make you think it's something to trust in, that it's trustworthy. That's the great lie. He says, if you choose this thing and embrace this thing, you will be happy, because that's the most important thing, is your happiness. God doesn't tell you that that's the most important thing, is your happiness. Jesus died not for you to be happy. Jesus died for you to be free. Jesus died for you to be saved. And hopefully then that makes you happy, that you know that when you take your last breath, you know where you're going and who you'll be with. Because Jesus, even in his life, it wasn't always happy. But he was committed and entrusted himself to the Father. We have to ask, well, do I have this philosophy that I can't be content unless I'm happy? God says, no, be content in me. Knowing that even when the world is going well and you see the blessings and you're using them, and even when you realize that something's not producing like you wished it would, I'm still with you. And even when it hurts, and when you lose your health, and when you lose your looks, and when you lose your money, you know that God is still with you. And you go, but I want my money, my looks, my abilities back. God says, I understand that, because that's what the world tells you is important. But in the midst of that pain, of that loss, remember how I made you important, by sending my son to die in your place. And he went. So there's difficulty in trust. That's when we trust something outside of ourselves. And then there's this insufficient trust creates in ourselves doubt and dejection. We don't trust ourselves. Do you remember Peter? They're on this boat and they went off, and Jesus is praying and he says, I'll meet you. And the Lord comes walking and the sea's going, and they go, who is it? Is it a ghost? Lord, is that you? Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now think about that for a minute. Here's a guy who grew up on a boat. He's a fisherman, right? He sees Jesus walking on the water going, wow, that's cool. I don't know how many times I wish I could have walked on the water. It would have made it so easy. But when I jump in, I go down and I have to swim. Walking would be so much better. Jesus, tell me to come to you. What does it say about Peter's trust in Jesus? Pretty high. He says, come. And could you imagine Peter when he's thinking, oh man, he lifts his leg over the edge of the boat. Wouldn't you? He just kind of, and then he shifts his weight. Can you imagine this? He's got one foot on the boat. And he knows he's good there, but he goes, it feels a little firm. It shouldn't be firm. I should sink, but it's firm. Ah, that's what Jesus does, isn't it? Jesus says, you think you're going to sink if you don't put trust in this, but you won't, because I'm with you. Stop trusting in the things that you've always trusted in. And he throws all of his weight on that one foot over the edge. And it's like, I'm standing on the water. And he starts to walk. I can't imagine what's going through Peter's mind as he takes one wet foot step after another towards Jesus. But what happens on the way? Oh, all of a sudden, the wind and the storms, all the natural things that he knows as a fisherman, trouble's coming if you're on the water and this stuff happens. You need to find a place to harbor. You need a place to be safe. And instead of keeping looking at Jesus, he looks around at everything else that he thinks he understands, and he begins to sink. Because he's not looking at Jesus, he's looking at everything else. But what does he do when he's sinking? He cries out to who? Jesus, the one he trusts in, who's still standing on the water. It's like, Jesus, I didn't do this very well. Save me. And Jesus said, lack of trust, drowned. See the kind of God we have? Is that when we take our eyes off of him and we start sinking, he doesn't look at us with disdain and disappointment. He reaches out and grabs us and pulls us where he wants us to be. Isn't that great? And as he does that, they get back on the boat. And I just wonder, you know, the other guy's going, Peter, you're nuts. And then every step he takes, they go, wow, Peter, this is awesome. But I'm not going to step out of the boat. But Peter did. Did he do it perfectly? Was he still embraced and saved by his brother Jesus? Yes. That's because Jesus entrusts himself to us for our sake. So there can be this errant trust. There can be this insufficient trust. But we trust in God. Now, trust can also be scary. Trust forces hard choices and demands sacrifice. Trust is scary because it can expose our weaknesses and our level of commitment. And then maybe we will be shown as a fraud. But when Jesus had to do this, he trusted himself to the Father. He went to the cross, and the people down there who saying, oh, you're not the Messiah that we want you to be or that you claim to be, because anyone who dies on a tree is condemned by God. So therefore, from the scriptures that we know, you're a condemned man, not our Messiah. You are a blasphemer that needs to die. And they say he saved himself. Or he saved others, but can he save himself? See, the stipulation they're putting on him is that if you're really the Messiah, you'll do something that we want you to do. And Jesus says, I'm not here to do what you want me to do. I'm here to do what the Father wants me to do. And you won't accept that. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. Really? He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. See the stipulation that humanity can put on God on, you should do it this way or I won't trust you or believe in you. We need to ask ourselves when we're going through those times where we're in hardship and we're wondering if God is hearing and listening, if he even cares, are we putting stipulations on him that he should be a certain God and do a certain thing the way I want? Or will I continue to trust, even though I don't understand how it's going to work out for the good? He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. Did God rescue Jesus at that point? No. But did God fulfill his promise 3 days later? Yes, he did. And Jesus comes back 3 days later and he shows himself to be the fulfillment and the promise. So trust can be difficult. Trust can be scary, but trust is essential. We will trust something. Do you realize that? Whenever you get into a situation and you wonder what's going on or why you acted the way you did, I want you to slow down a minute and ask, what was I putting my trust in that caused me to think that way or to act that way? Was I trusting me, someone else, something, or God? Because those are little touch points where you can say, oh, okay, I was trusting me, something else, and not God. So I'm going to trust God this time. In spite of the results. This essential trust provides hope. It gives purpose and leads to contentment because you're putting your trust in God that he's going to be there for you through all things, right? Even if it's your sacrificial death on a cross, where many people would say, well, God can't be loving Jesus because he died that way. No, the Father was still loving the Jesus even though he died that way. The Father still loves us even though we go through trials and even though someone might take our life for our confession. He still loves us, and we can be content in him, but not content in the minimal promises that come through the world. It enables the distribution of what has been entrusted to us. So if you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, what a great thing that has been poured into you. A reality that there's a God who loves you that would send his son to die for you, and there are people out in the world who don't know that. And they want an answer to why life is so hard. And you have it because Satan rules this earth. Well, why doesn't God intervene? He will. He has, and he will fully intervene one day. Who will we put your trust in? And we have an answer to that. And Paul, when he was told the Corinthians, he says, we are servants of Christ, and we have been entrusted with the mysteries of God that he has revealed. And if you are a Christian, you have these mysteries in your own mind. You have them in your own book. You know them. And now you're filled with them, and now you can share them with people who God brings your way. We have to keep remembering, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We think when the blessings leave, God has left. Not necessarily true. Satan might be saying, trust in the blessings, and then I'll take them away and see where you really have your trust. And God says, keep trusting in me, because I will not disappoint. So then we can have confidence that the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? So what do you put your trust in? If we don't trust, we won't obey. So we've been talking before about love, and love obeys, and love trusts. If we don't trust, we won't obey. If we don't obey, we don't really love God. And when we don't obey, we minimize love for ourselves. Do you realize that? Because when you don't love God, and because he knows what's in your best interest, and you're only going for the short-term payoff, you're loving yourself only to a level that doesn't last eternally. You want to fix, but you don't want to be fixed. And God says, I'm here to fix you. Because you need me to. And I love you desperately. So we don't trust self, but we trust God. And we satisfy the flesh at the cost of our soul. So, trust God's love. He loves you. Trust Christ's sacrifice, the demonstration of his love for you. And it's his sacrifice that heals the relational wound between you and the Father. Trust the Spirit's work in you, because he says, when you are my child, I will send my Spirit to live in you. And through his Spirit, we bear his fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So we make ourselves available for his working through our strengths and our abilities. And it results in endurance for all the challenges the world will throw at us. And it defines the purpose for life. That you get to wear the moniker of child of God, redeemed by Christ, entrusted with his will, so that others can come to know this trustworthy God. Man, what's better than that? Isn't that good news? Oh, yeah. And if you've not put your trust in Christ and what God is wanting to do, let's talk about that, what it takes. If you're struggling with your trust, get the community to pray with you and for you. Don't do it alone, because that's where Satan wants you, is alone. But God wants you in community so you can be lifted up. And whatever your need is, we're here to help in any way we can as we stand and give God the praise he deserves.